earth, and sky.
Welcome to Clear Voices. I'm Lindsay Patterson. You can forget the mad scientist in his white lab coat. Today's stereotypical scientists look more like rock stars. They wear their hair long and, in some cases, unbrushed. And they have a club, the Luxuriant Flowing Hair Club for Scientists. Jonathan McDowell from the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics joined the Luxuriant Flowing Hair Club for Scientists in May 2007. He claims his long hair began as an accident. He was unable to pull himself away from studying black holes and dark matter long enough to get it cut. In this podcast, we'll be speaking about science humor, geekiness, and of course, his hair. What led you to your membership in the Luxuriant Flowing Hair Club for Scientists?
My friend Laura nominated me for that. This is something that the guys at the Journal for Irreproducible Results dreamt up. So it's a bunch of geeks who really are very much in the tradition of celebrating their geekiness.
What is the connection between scientists and having long, luxuriant, flowing hair? I mean, why do you have such long hair?
Right. I mean, there are different kinds of long-haired scientists. You know, there's a proverbial, in some quarters, long hair, you know, equaling intellectual. And I think it's that nonconformist thing. If you go into science, you have that spirit of inquiry. You have to question things. And so just as you question how does the world work and what would happen if we, you know, change this about science, that same personality leads you to say, you know, well, why should I cut my hair or why should I wear a tie? And so you're more likely to have the kind of personality who tries out alternative ways of presenting yourself. So I think that's where it comes from.
Right. My theory was that scientists just don't have time to cut their hair, or maybe don't think about it.
Well, you know, to be honest, that was part of how it happened with me, is that I was just, you know, so space cadet-y that I didn't actually get around to cutting my hair for a while. And my girlfriend liked it, and so I kept it.
So how do you think a sense of humor goes into your work or into science in general?
That's an interesting question. How does a sense of humor fold into my work? I think, again, it comes in this idea of trying different things. Trying a lot of different things and seeing if something wild works. And what we do with humor is, certainly when I'm talking with my colleagues in a humorous vein about science, we'll come up with silly ideas and we'll joke about them. But then sometimes we'll pick one of those silly ideas and go, you know, that isn't completely ridiculous. It's ridiculous the way I've said it. But maybe if you scaled it back a bit, it would be an interesting direction to go. So I think the playfulness of humor connects with the playfulness of exploring different mental avenues that help you come up with new ideas and new ways of looking at things, and that is really core to the process of science. You know, one conversation we had is sort of, you know, what is the dark matter made of? So you start thinking up of crazy, so the dark, there's all this matter out in the universe that we know is there because of its gravity, but we can't see it, it's not shiny, and so we don't know what it's made of. So, you know, you start off playing with ridiculous ideas, you're joking about, you know, you end up banging your head against a wall and going, I have no idea what it is, so now you start joking about it, and you go, well, you know, maybe it's a whole lot of Klingon spaceships, and maybe it's you know, a lot of all our lost socks, you know, and then you kind of morph that into, well, what do those things have in common, and what could it really be? So that's really what I'm talking about. You know, we make fun of our own obsessiveness a lot. So I think one of the nice things is that we're at least actually, most of us now, even though we're kind of the stereotypical obsessive geeks, we're at least self-conscious about that and willing to make fun of ourselves for being that, and that helps it along.
I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but I mean, I just have one more question. And
sure.
How would you describe your hair?
Well, you know, I've even at the advanced age I'm now reaching, there's still a reasonable amount of it, and my hair has always been very black and very thick. And so, you know, it's been longer at times. I used to have it sort of halfway down my torso, but it's really only a little below my neck at this point. And tends to be, you know, a little wavy, but mostly long and straight. And starting to go gray, but mostly still pretty black, I would say.
So would you ever consider getting, like, a crew cut or anything, or is that really...
You know, I
question?
Can't imagine me with a crew cut. I had been thinking that it might be time to go back to a shorter length, but... You know, now I've been put in the Luxurian Hair Club, I really feel kind of an obligation to keep it long at this point, so we'll see. If I start losing too much on top, then I'll definitely cut it back, because that just looks silly. I think I'll probably keep it long as it still looks reasonably good.
That was Jonathan McDowell at the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics. I'm Lindsay Patterson for Earth and Sky, a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.